Ray sang when he grew up, and we still sing these songs now, but they were favorites of Cora's and the family. So I guess we'll start out by singing a couple of these oldies but goodies.
Praise to the Lord.
99?
Thou hast cut them off. They are like a dream at daybreak. They fade like grass which springs up with the morning, but when the evening comes is parched and withered. So we are brought to an end by anger and silenced by thy wrath. Thou dost lay bare our iniquities before thee and our lusts in the full light of thy presence. All our days go by under the shadow of thy wrath, for our years die away like a murmur. 70 years is the span of our life, 80 if our strength holds. The hurrying years are labor and sorrow. So quickly they pass and are forgotten. Who feels the power of thy anger? Who feels thy wrath like those that fear thee? Teach us to order our days rightly, that we may enter the gate of wisdom. How long, O Lord? Relent and take pity on thy servants. Satisfy us with thy love when morning breaks, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Repay us days of gladness for all our days of suffering. For the years thou hast humbled us, show thy servants thy deeds and their children thy majesty. May all delightful things be ours, O Lord our God. Establish firmly all we do.
Please be seated. Bob, I can just leave this off, can't I? Well, you're taping the whole thing, though, right? I can leave it off? The word that keeps coming to me when I think about Cora is faithful. And I don't know that we understand the importance of people that have been faithful to what God has spoken to them. Many times, and like Cora, they're not in the forefront. They're not up there preaching the words and or leading the worship. They're not the most visible. But as far as what makes things really go and the kind of the backbone and the strength of the fellowship in a group, these people are so important because in their spirits, they're faithful to what God has spoken. She was had a ministry with the Word, and was it just the gleanings or was it the tapes too? Gleanings. Mailing things out so people could get the Word. And what a wonderful ministry that was. Cora had a vision for what the Word of God could do to people. And so often we that are here just think about, well, we're here hearing it. Maybe we'll think of a person or two that we know. But she was mindful of so many other people that could not be here. And her heart was faithful to see that the Word went out and touched the people that wanted to hear it. So as I remember her this morning, I remember her life and all that she gave in the years, faithfulness to the Word, to ministering, seeing that the Word got out, faithful to prayer, believing God. She was more of a strength to us, I think, than any of us really realize. And we remember her this day with a thankful heart. We celebrate her life. And I know that she ministered as long as she could until physically she was not able to be here. But the ministry didn't stop then. When we did not see Cora physically anymore at the services, her heart continued to minister what God had put within her to the people that were here and to many others. So now she is with those that she has actually been with for so many years when she was on earth. Her heart desire has been met. She's found her home. She's with the Lord and with all the saints that, like her, served faithfully in what God had given them. And I know now she has great joy and she's able to look down on us. Well, Cora, we look up and we can't see you. We're still limited by these physical bodies, but we say thank you. Thank you for the time that God gave you here. Thank you for the relationship we had with you and all that you imparted to our lives. We're very grateful for that. In the body, often faith is emphasized as it should be. And we recognize those that have moved in great faith, and we all encourage one another to move in greater faith. But true faith becomes a ministry of faithfulness. It's not just a spark or an explosion that does something, but the faith that burns over many years becomes an attitude of faithfulness that continually supplies the body of Christ and every member with life. To Cora and to many that are like her, who quietly work away, aren't necessarily even mentioned. Some people don't even recognize what's happening, but those that have more of a spiritual awareness can see that the heart of the church goes beyond those that are doing the preaching and teaching or doing the worship. So those that are in their prayer closet, those that are in their heart are faithful to what God has spoken. So Cora, you are blessed. I was going to say bless you, but I don't think you could be any more blessed than you are right now. Amen. Would someone else like to share? Yes, thank you.
It's a blessing to be able to live life and experience the extremes of what God has allowed us to experience. Times of great joy, times of great sorrow, times of love unspeakable, and sorrow just permeates the being. I thank God for the expressions that God has allowed us to be able to experience as human beings, and I believe that they're really the expressions of God. For are we not created in His image? Have we not been given the breath of life that spiritually we can begin to sense and know the full gamut of the feelings of God? We stand today in memory of Cora, Ray's mother. And I'm mindful of what Paul said to Timothy, of the faith that abided in Timothy was a result of his mother's faith and his mother's mother's faith, I think is how it is worded in the scriptures. And we see that in our brother Ray, the life that's come forth in him because of the faithfulness of someone that took faith, of someone that stood to believe God. And now we're thankful that we can walk and know Brother Ray as we've known his mother. But when I think of Cora, and I didn't have a lot of contact with Cora, but I can say this, two things come to mind as I join with you this morning. One is the faithfulness. You can really feel that in that woman's life. The faithfulness that she had to walk with God, and the desire and drive she had to know God. And boy, I tell you, those are powerful things. The faithfulness. The scriptures tell us in Galatians, the thing that matters is faith that expresses itself through love. And we saw that in Cora's life, her faithfulness and the love that she had for the Lord. Boy, that's a life worth living. For any of us that had a few years under our belt, walked a few days and a few nights on this planet, we can begin to see really how fragile life is and how meaningful it really is and how meaningful it can be. We begin to really see that what really matters is developing a life. Developing a life that is in relationship to its Creator. And this will of God is so very, very important. The other thing I think about with Cora is a thing that I think we're going to see a lot more of from the believers. And I think she was an example of it. I see other examples of this room that are still with us, certainly, but it's joy. There was always, as you recall, a pleasant smile on that woman's face. There was a joy in her heart that went beyond the pain of the things that she was bearing spiritually, physically. There was a joy. And that, I believe, is really going to be much more evident for all of us as we move forward. And the scriptures speak about, in this end time, faith. I say, what is it? The faith, the joy, righteousness, faith, and the Holy Spirit. Peace, thank you, those three things. Those three things are going to become more and more evident and clear. We should speak a lot about those, I think, as we move forward. But there's a joy, there was a joy in Korah's life that was contagious. You could feel it. I could feel it from her. I remember. It was a blessing to me personally. I'll say that. And talk about joy. The joy of the saints now, we're going to have, a greater understanding of what life is. Life is meant to be lived to its fullest in this planet, as ordained by Him. But there's a life that we're all coming into that's not that far off. There's not that much of a barrier between where they are and where we are here. But this thing of joy is going to become so strong for the body of Christ, so that whether, like Paul said, whether I'm here or whether I'm there, well, it makes no difference, but I'm going to be here for you. We kind of wish that Korah would be here for us because of all that she was in her spirit, in her life. But God's decided that He wants her there with Him. Hallelujah. We can rejoice in the life of these saints that have walked and lived because they've taught us examples of the nature of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, the joy of Christ that these people walked in. They're examples for us of who will follow in their footsteps to carry on where she's now moved on. We're here. We're going to be carrying on in the things of the Lord with all the things that she's taught us, with all the things that we saw from her. Now it's ours to continue on in those things and even more. And she'll be praying for us that we'll walk in even more. Because the path of the just will shine brighter and brighter until the glorious day. We thank you, Korah, for your life. All that you imparted to all of us. Your faithfulness. The joy that you embraced, that you exuded. We thank you. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you and for the joy of your life. And now we continue in that faithfulness. We continue in that joy that you've taught us, that we'll all be able to stand together in oneness, whether here or whether there. We're all one in Him. Amen. Hallelujah.
I didn't think it hit me this hard. I used to live in a brother's house, and I would go home and we'd pick Korah up Sunday, you know, take her to church down in Kenai and back. And she was always pretty quiet. She never really said a whole lot. And sometimes I would wonder, you know, why she was going. But there's always a strength within her. There was always... I just get the feeling that Korah had a struggle in the last few months dealing with, you know, she has so much to give here, so much she wanted to take care of, the people that she loved. And I knew that she wanted to be with God. So I imagine there was a time in her heart. Oh, I guess the main thing I remember about Korah is a twinkle in her eye. She was,
I think maybe not all of you know that Korah could play the piano well, and I am not probably using the, Cheryl used another term, but I would call her way of playing bouncy. There's maybe a better term. But she recorded a tape for me years ago of some of the songs that she wrote herself. And they're good. And I think that Cheryl and Ray will be playing them maybe after the service today and tomorrow. But it'll give you a different perspective of her heart for worship, too. And the thing that was coming to me during the worship today was that those who are the overcomers and with the Lord now were singing with us this morning.
Yes, amen.
And she was with us this morning.
Yes.
And we're still here in the battle and the struggle and the suffering and the joy, too, because we do experience a lot of that. But it was just sometimes you just feel that closing of the gap.
Right.
And we were all worshiping together. Those
yes.
who went have gone before and those who are still here.
Yes.
We're all together and we're all still one.
Yes.
You know, George, you were talking about Cora and why she was down at the land and why she would go. And I'm reminded of the first time that she went. Ray was working as a cab driver, and down at the land they had built a new building. And it was the dedication service, and everyone had come in for this dedication service. And Ray decided he was going to bring his mother. Well, he brought her, and then he had to go to work. So he left her there. All by herself in this big huge body of people to have lunch or whatever, and you know the rest of the day would hold for her. And then he came back after work and picked her up, and she went a couple more times, and then she went back to the back to put her name in the registry, that the little card that fill out to say who I am and get in the phone book. And she found out she was already in the phone book. Ray had taken faith for her already and had written her name in there so she'd be a part of it. Oh boy, she decided that she was going to tell him exactly that he should have waited for her to do that. And some of the things that I remember about her is just such a fun way of doing things. She was always tormented by my children, who love her dearly, but love to torment her as well. And I'm reminded of an occasion when my daughter and her best friend across the street were doing everything Grandma does. Scratch your head, they'd scratch their head, say hi, they'd say hi, you'd say stop it, they'd say stop it, no, really stop it, no, really stop it, And so she pondered for a few minutes, and then she took out her teeth. And she said, okay, do that. So that kind of ended their follow after Grandma. They went outside and played, but she was always very quick and very clever. And with words, she would find the most unusual way to say that she liked or didn't like something or to put something, so it was real clever. She was very wordy. And when she would be here in the service and she'd take notes, I was cleaning her room about 9 months ago, and came across notebook after notebook after notebook of teeny tiny writing. She would sit here in the service and she would write down everything that she was said, all the scriptures, all the words, all the phrases that caught her attention. You'd see her just scribbling it. So she was really a woman after the word. So.
I don't know. David asked me earlier on sometime to give him a biography of my mom, and we've got it right here. This is it. This is who she is and who she was. Whether or not she was born 88 years ago or whether she was all these other things. She was very into family and unity. She was one that remembered every child and every grandchild, and to the extent she was able, every great-grandchild that she had. And people would go by the wayside, and family would batter around with family, but she was always that one anchor to draw everybody back together again. It was such a joy. About a few summers ago, when one of the cousins that's not coming, that couldn't be here today, came, and as a result of coming, drew all the members of the family, the local family that had been feuding back and forth together, and had them all meet at a park. And we were all civil and wonderful with each other and sharing past experiences through pictures and enjoying the history that she went through. And that's an example of the oneness with the family that we all have, that we're all to have. Even when there's splittings that seem to go on out there, it's still a oneness, and there's still those that tie everything together.